tonight as we continue to listen in on the Lord Jesus' conversation with his disciples in the upper room just prior to his crucifixion. We read John 15 verse 18 through into John 16 verse 4. And we are focusing on the Lord Jesus' instruction regarding the Holy Spirit as we hear Jesus speak to his disciples. Very significantly, as Jesus prepares to take his leave of the disciples, and we might anticipate that Jesus would have all kinds of things to speak with them about, Jesus talks with his disciples about the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Himself as Savior, God as Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit as the one who is present with his people. And how marvelous it is that to equip the people of God to live in this world, we're pointed not primarily to what we must do, but rather to the God who redeems us, whose people we are. So then, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18, listen, here's God's word. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I've said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. The word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be our teacher, that you would be our instructor as we turn our thoughts to your word. We pray that you would be mindful of our weakness. We confess that at the end of a day that's filled with many activities, Father, we desire that you would give us attentiveness, a spirit of concentration, that we might be able to hear your word, receive it with profit as we receive it with faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus speaks to us in John 15, 26 and 27. He says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Of course, those verses represent a big leap forward from where we were in Jesus' conversation with the disciples. We finished a couple of weeks ago in chapter 14. And as we come to this portion at the end of chapter 15, the beginning of chapter 16, it seems like the disciples' worst fears are being realized. What's going to happen when Jesus leaves? What will happen when he takes his leave of them? And Jesus is telling them that the hostility that is focused on him is going to target them Instead, they're going to become the lightning rods for the hatred, the hostility of the world that at that time was focused on Jesus himself. So Jesus says in verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You might then anticipate that if Jesus' followers occupy that low position on the food chain, Jesus is going to advise them to lie low, to keep their heads down, not to make any waves, not to draw attention to themselves. Jesus goes on to say, verse 27, you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And of course, as some of you know, the Greek word for witness is the word that comes over into English as martyr. And of course, that doesn't sound very promising either. If Jesus is telling his disciples that they're to be witnesses, and it has that flavor of martyrdom attached to it. Not very reassuring, perhaps, but Jesus has a word of reassurance that gives perspective. And that's, we pick up at verse 26, when the Helper comes, says Jesus, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus tells his disciples that they are to be witnesses. Jesus instructs us that we are to be his witnesses. But in these verses, Jesus reminds us that we are not the primary witnesses. There is a witness whose testimony, whose witness supersedes and overshadows ours. God's star witness, if you like. And that witness is none other than the Holy Spirit. D.A. Carson says that the promised Spirit of truth is going to testify to the world concerning Jesus, and the disciples will join in that witness. This is the reason they're being left behind, to join in the witness of the Holy Spirit, to be a part, to be a support to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the primary witness. The disciples are secondary. I know very, very little about dancing, but I am told that in at least certain kinds of dancing, it's very important that one partner be able to give a good, strong, firm lead. Not a coercive lead, but rather just a strong, firm lead, good, solid guidance, and then everything goes well. That is, as it were, the role that the Holy Spirit occupies in the witness of the people of God. The Holy Spirit is the primary witness who catches us up, who directs us, who guides us, and yes, who empowers us to be able to be God's witnesses in this world. And that's why Paul talks in Galatians 5:25 of the necessity of God's people being in step with the Holy Spirit, not pushing back against the Holy Spirit, not resisting the Holy Spirit, but rather being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being guided and led by him, keeping in step with him. And this evening, as Jesus introduces us to that lead witness, that star witness, I want to just lay out three things before you this evening for your encouragement. And first of all, just to identify the lead witness, the Holy Spirit, the one who is the helper, or as we've already said, the one who is a paraclete, the one who assists, who enables the people of God. Who is he? And sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit is a concept that we're a little bit uneasy with. That idea of Spirit leaves us a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. We like things to be nice and concrete and solid and tangible. And then perhaps if we're familiar with other translations of Scripture, the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Spirit seems just a little bit, the Holy Ghost. And at that point, sometimes the people of God start to become just a little bit unnerved, to shy back. Who is this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And here in the verses we have before us, Jesus places the Holy Spirit in proximity, not just with himself, but with the Father in such a way that we are assured that this one who comes to take the place of the Lord Jesus in Jesus' absence, he is none other than God himself, God, the Holy Spirit. And we hear the names and titles by which Jesus speaks of him. He is the Spirit of Truth. And earlier, back in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus spoke those words to his disciples that have been so reassuring to Christians down through the years. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we think that is marvelous, and our hearts are warmed. And now Jesus takes those same titles and begins to apply them to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And in that way, he mirrors, he reflects the character and person of Jesus, distinct within the Godhead, and yet with Jesus Christ, one in essence as the one living and true God. The very language of the of verse 26, the Greek underscores the fact that this is a person. The language used is the language of personhood. The Greek grammar makes clear that we're talking about a person. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is not an it. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is He. He is God. And Jesus' language is language that communicates that. He will bear witness. And that idea of witness bearing by a person reassures us that the Holy Spirit is not just a person, but the Holy Spirit is God. He's mentioned here by the Lord Jesus in the same breath as the Father and Jesus himself. And so we begin to see the way in which the persons of the Godhead, one God in three persons, work together not only to redeem but to preserve and to protect the people of God and to empower and enable their witness. What is it that a witness does? Well, of course, we're all familiar with those courtroom dramas where the individual is called upon to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And here comes the Holy Spirit, the one who is the Spirit of Truth. John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is truth. Here is God, the Holy Spirit, who speaks words of truth. Objectively, the Holy Spirit gives to us God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit who guides. Remember Peter's words, the Holy Spirit carries along the men who are the human writers of Scripture, but no Scripture is of private interpretation. No Scripture is something that's dreamed up by a human individual. All Scripture comes from God. All Scripture is the product of God, the Holy Spirit, guiding those writers who have put down the Word of God so that every word of God proves true. You might think of the affidavit that's presented in court, the sworn testimony that's true and reliable. Every word of our God proves true because the Scripture comes by the Holy Spirit of God. And what a marvelous thing it is that in a world where the prince of darkness, and this morning we spoke of Satan as the one who is the father of lies, who right from the beginning has been deceptive, who's been a deceiver, and now into what seems like his impregnable territory is unleashed the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that marvelous? The liar, the great liar, the great deceiver is countered by God the Holy Spirit, who invades his territory as the Spirit of Truth, seeing to it that the Word is put down objectively and seeing to it that the hearts of sinners are persuaded by that Word. Because the Holy Spirit who causes God's Word to be set down is the Holy Spirit who uses that Word in the lives of people. We remember how Paul writes to the Thessalonians. And Paul went to the Thessalonians as a preacher, but Paul celebrates the fact that when he preached God's truth to the Thessalonian Christians, well, listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. He says, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. The word preached, empowered by the Holy Spirit, brought about a sense of full conviction on the parts of those who heard it. Now, here are glorious things. And I want you to recognize that as we hear Jesus send his people out into this world, we think of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, you are my witnesses. Important for us to remember that we go, as it were, in the footsteps of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who's unleashed into this world as the great truth bearer, who sets down the word of truth, who writes that truth in the hearts of men and women, and yes, who constrains powerfully and yet gently, who constrains the people of God to speak of that truth, to bear witness to that truth. And sometimes when we think of the idea of being a witness, maybe in an office situation, maybe in a classroom, we feel very small. And yes, we are. But we remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who is the lead witness. He's the one who is present with the people of God. He's the one who gives to us the opportunities. He's the one who nudges us. And aren't we sometimes fearful and hesitant? And sometimes we feel the Holy Spirit nudging us into those situations, prompting us to speak. Maybe we say, well, where did that come from? That just kind of popped out, and somehow it was what was needed in that situation. And then we realize that we're the secondary witnesses. The Holy Spirit's the one who is invading the territory of the great liar. And the Holy Spirit's the one who goes before the people of God. And of course, He's the one who's able to persuade hearts. We can talk till we're blue in the face, but the Holy Spirit's the one who persuades hearts. That was Paul's testimony relating to what happened in Thessalonica. God's word was heard, went forth in power in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. The Westminster Confession reminds us, chapter 1, verse 5, our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority of Scripture is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. The Holy Spirit works through God's Word. Remember Paul's words to Timothy, that which you've heard from infancy, and of which you have become fully convinced. Expose yourself to God's Word. You know, we have all kinds of doubts. We come to God's Word. The Holy Spirit uses that Word to bring full conviction, to deepen our assurance, and yes, to direct us in our witness. So here's the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, who is the lead witness. Here's who He is, but we're to hear that witness. What is it that the Holy Spirit speaks of? What will He tell us about? What will He make known in the world? What is it you'd like to hear from the Holy Spirit about? And of course, you might have all kinds of ideas. Well, you know, I'd love it if He could tell me what's going to happen at work on Thursday. I'd love it if He could tell me how the job interview will go. And I've got some questions about evolution or science. You know, the Holy Spirit is just real interested in talking about the Lord Jesus. Jesus says in verse 26, He will bear witness about Me. The Holy Spirit has a fascination, a fixation, a preoccupation with the Lord Jesus. He bears witness to the Savior. Is that what you wanted? And if it's not, maybe then you need to adjust your expectations regarding what is important and what God the Holy Spirit desires that you know, because the Holy Spirit is very desirous that you know Jesus. He bears witness to the Savior. He bears witness to Me. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows Jesus intimately. When someone appears in a courtroom to bear witness regarding someone else, they may say, well, I had a fleeting encounter with such and such an individual. I saw them do such and such. I happened to observe them on this occasion or that occasion. More compelling is the witness who is able to say, well, I have spent some time with that individual. I've been with them. I've watched them. More compelling still is the witness who is able to say, well, I've known this person all their life. I've had opportunity to observe them. I've spent much time with them. That's the role that the Holy Spirit has, as it were, with respect to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you remember, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us. Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. John tells us that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that Jesus began his ministry by declaring that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Jesus' earthly ministry as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as God come in the flesh to be the liberator, the deliverer, the sin bearer of his people. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus throughout that entire ministry. The Holy Spirit was, as Sinclair Ferguson says, the intimate companion of Jesus throughout his ministry. The Holy Spirit knows Jesus well, and the Holy Spirit wants you and me to know about Jesus. And you know what's so important for us, that when we come to the Scripture, or when we engage in devotional family worship, some of the things we've been talking about, that we not be sidetracked. That we remember that we are those who have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus, that we are those who are saved by Jesus, that we are those who are justified in Jesus. We are those who have been crucified with Jesus and are raised with Jesus. We're those who are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. More about Jesus would I know. Isn't that what we sometimes sing? We need to. We might have curiosity about all kinds of things, but the Holy Spirit is constantly coming to us to point us to Jesus, to instruct us about Jesus, so that we see him with greater clarity, so that we love him with greater fervor. And yes, then find ourselves compelled to speak of him with earnestness and sincerity, because the Spirit has introduced us to him and is constantly bringing us into a deeper experience of who Jesus is. And then what's our responsibility? Well, Jesus addresses the disciples. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus in the upper room is primarily addressing the 11. He's not primarily speaking to you and me, although as we listen in, the Holy Spirit has much to tell us. But Jesus speaks primarily to the disciples. Verse 27, "You also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." The disciples, the apostles, have been with the Lord Jesus from the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so Jesus says to those disciples, "You're to speak about what you've seen, but the Holy Spirit also will bear witness to those things." You speak in concert, in unison, in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And so the witness of the apostles is linked to the Holy Spirit. We hear the apostles speaking in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and they say, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit." And the apostles are saying, "Well, we've seen these things, but you don't have to believe us because the Holy Spirit is witness to these things also." And you know, that's true of us. Yes, we have experienced the Lord Jesus, but we look to and we pray for the Holy Spirit to be at work in the lives of people. And yes, the Holy Spirit does equip God's people for witness. Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you receive power then to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Individually, but also in communion with the people of God. Paul says, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, "Jesus' church, the church of the living God, is a pillar and buttress of the truth." Your witness is empowered as the Holy Spirit works through the people of God, as the Holy Spirit instructs you through the ministry of Jesus' church, as you have the fellowship, as you have the encouragement, as you enjoy the prayers, the prayer support of the people of God. And so as the Holy Spirit works in his church, as the Holy Spirit takes the lead as the great witness bearer to the Lord Jesus, then we're glad that we also, who have tasted the goodness of God, we have an opportunity to lend our witness to that and declare that we have tasted and that we have found that God is good. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have sent such a witness into this world, one who knows the Lord Jesus with such intimacy, one who speaks to hearts with such persuasiveness. Our Father, I pray that in our timidity, in our trepidation, that we would look to you, that we might look to the Holy Spirit who indwells your people, who works through your church, who prompts, who guides, who constrains, who persuades, and that we might be grateful that you have sent such a witness into this world. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.